Well, could we turn to God's Word, please? 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse number 1. 2 Kings chapter 5, and we'll commence our reading at verse number 1. Let's read God's Word together, please. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honourable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valour, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. She said unto her mistress, Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, and 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God, to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Amen. With God's word open before us, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee once again for the privilege of holding thy precious word. We thank thee, O Lord, that it is the power of God unto salvation. We thank thee, Lord, this is a living word, fully inspired of thee. And we thank thee, Lord, that each word has been given by God for our instruction, for our edification, and for our salvation. We pray, Lord, that you will shine the light of understanding upon this sacred page. We pray you'll give us thy Holy Spirit to help us to understand the words written therein. And we pray, O Lord, we will see clearly the message that God has for our souls tonight. We pray, Lord, that you'll take away all distracting thoughts. We pray you'll help us to focus upon the book and upon the one of whom the book is written. And we pray tonight we will see Jesus. Lord, tonight we pray you'll empty me of self and sin, fill me with thy Holy Spirit, give power in the preaching of the word of God, and may it find a resting place in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls, and may souls be drawn unto thee. For this is our prayer, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Twice a year, as we go throughout our year, the Queen gives out lists of people who she wants to honour. One's at the New Year's honours list, and one is at the Queen's birthday. And the people on those lists are people who have achieved great things in life. Those who have had remarkable successes. Those who have been a help and an inspiration to others. And as we look at the type of people who are honoured in these type of gatherings, I wouldn't be surprised if this man, Naaman, had he been alive today, would be someone who was honoured in such a list. He is someone who is an honourable man. Someone who is an outstanding member of the community. Someone who is known in high circles. And someone who has basically given his life to do the best that he can. Someone, humanly speaking, that you could look at and admire. Someone, humanly speaking, you would like your child to aspire to be like. Someone who was successful in life. Someone who had gained every accolade in life. And yet, you know, as we read this passage of God's Word, and as we read verse number 1, and the picture is built up of this successful, powerful man, we read 5 words at the very end of the verse that throw everything else into disarray. But he was a leper. But he was a leper. And you see, whenever we read those words, but he was a leper, it changes everything. You see, everything that he had achieved in life is of no significance anymore. Because he is a disease that is going to see him leave the scene of time with the passing of the days, the weeks, and the months. And in reality, I'm sure all he can focus on and all he can concentrate is not the success in life, but the fact that he is facing death. I want you to notice, actually, that when you read this passage of God's Word, we read that the Lord had blessed him. Look at verse number 1. It says, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. Now, at this time in his life, he was not a child of God. He was not a follower of Jehovah. He is not one who had given his life to the Lord. And yet we find that the Lord had blessed him abundantly. Each person gathered in this meeting tonight has been blessed abundantly of God, whether you're saved or whether you're still in your sin. The Lord has given you another day. The Lord has given you the health and the strength to be in the house of God. The Lord has given you beautiful homes, families. He's given you his precious word in your mother tongue. He has given you this house of God. He has given you this gospel hour as another opportunity of saving grace. And he has blessed each one of us mightily today. And here's Naaman, a man who is blessed, but he was a leper. And no longer do we think of his achievements, but we think of his problem. He had a sickness that outshadowed his achievements. And as we look at leprosy in the Word of God, it's very clearly represented as a picture of sin. And whenever you read about leprosy through the Word of God, and especially in Leviticus, you will find that it is a picture of sin. Because it reminds us of ourselves. You see, the Word of God tells us that we are born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And the reality is, this evening, in this meeting, that each of us born into this world, we're born with the spiritual disease of leprosy. And that spiritual leprosy is sin. And therefore we can learn many lessons from this passage of God's Word. You see, Naaman in reality is just any person sitting in this church, isn't he? Because we have achieved much in our lives. Perhaps you come from a beautiful home. Perhaps you have a really good job. You have great finances in the bank. Perhaps you have a beautiful car. You have had everything you could possibly achieve in this life. But friend, you still have that disease of sin. If you are a sinner in this meeting tonight, it doesn't matter what you've achieved in life. Because it's absolutely nothing whenever you're still in your sin. You see, it's possible for you to achieve every accolade in life. And every honor that this world has to offer and yet be a sinner. Friend, it's possible for you to be a churchgoer, coming to this church Sunday after Sunday, singing the hymns, holding the Word of God, having reverence in the house of God, and yet still be a sinner. And while earth might hold you up as someone in this community who ought to be applauded, heaven records you as lost. You see, many today are concerned about their earthly status. And many would love to have the list of accolades that Naaman was able to rhyme off here. But you see, there are a few who are concerned about eternity. And the Bible tells us that we have a soul that will live on in eternity. Friend, that's what you need to be concerned about tonight. Not what you can gain in this life. but what you're laying up for eternity. The children's chorus says, I have a soul to be saved. Let this truth be engraved on my mind and my heart when I'm young. Oh, how awful the cost if my soul should be lost and in hell if I die as I am. All hope gone forever if I die as I am. Scriptures ask the question, what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And what I'm simply saying is, you can have everything this world has to offer, but friend, it's nothing when you leave this scene of time. Whenever you step out into God's eternity, the bank balance is not looked at. And the house that you lived in is not looked at. And your CV is not looked at. What you have done with the Saviour is what is considered. What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I wonder, have you stopped this week? Have you stopped today to consider eternity? Friend, has there been a time in your life when you stopped to consider your soul? Has there been a time in your life when you stopped to consider your sin? That now as you walk separated from God because of your sin, you will go into eternity separated from Him in that place called hell. Have you stopped to consider your latter end? This morning I was driving from Muckafelt to Armagh, and I had only driven 5 miles before I was stopped by the police. There was an accident on the road. And last night, in the early hours of the morning, an 18-year-old was taken out into God's eternity in a car accident. Face to face with death, first thing today. And the first question that came into my mind was, I wonder, was he saved? You see, death is all around us. The reality of eternity, I pray this night will be written on every single soul. Friend, if it was you tonight that God would call from this scene of time, I want to ask the question, where would your soul be in eternity? You say to me, I'm not saved. Well, then I have to tell you graciously that the Word of God tells us the wages of sin is death. And that soul that dies in his sin or her sin will go into that place called hell, where they will feel the wrath of God and the punishment of God for their sin for all eternity. Is that where you stand tonight? You see, this leprosy that Naaman has teaches us about sin, because in that time there was no human cure for leprosy. And friends, tonight in this meeting I want to tell you there is no human cure for sin. Your sin cannot be washed away. Your sin cannot be earned away. Your sin cannot be taken and put elsewhere by you. Your sin must be dealt with by a holy God. Leprosy in biblical times affected the person's whole being. He had a walk and he had a cry out, unclean, unclean, because of the fear of the contagiousness of this disease. Nobody wanted to be near the leper in case they caught the disease. And do you know that sin affects every part of a man or a woman or a boy or girl's being? It affects your heart. It affects your mind, your will, your desires, your affections, and your standing before God. In reality, the leper was an outcast from society. He wasn't welcome anymore in his home. He wasn't welcome in the community which he grew up in. Often they had to go outside the city and dwell in separate colonies. He was an outcast from society. But I can tell you, there's something worse than being an outcast from society, because if you're in your sin, you're an outcast from God. And your place is not in heaven, but it's not a place of outer darkness. You see, you maybe say to me, well, I don't see any consequences of sin in my life. I've lived without God and I've got on okay. I've got a good family, a good home, a good job. Everything I wanted, I've achieved in life. Friend, don't look at the here and now, look at the end result. Walk with me to the end of life's journey tonight. Walk with me to that day when you're called from this scene of time. Where will it be? You see, leprosy was a sickness unto death. In fact, someone once wrote that the leper is a walking sepulcher. In other words, he's walking, and every step he takes, he's getting closer to death. And eventually that disease would eat up the entire body, and he would close his eyes in this scene of time and go into eternity. The Word of God tells us that the wages of sin is death. The punishment for sin is death. I wonder, is there someone in this meeting tonight and you're still in your sin? You could be called a spiritual leper. My friend, sin is affecting every area of your life. Sin is dictating where you will spend eternity. Sin finds you under the wrath of a holy and a righteous God. Well, I beg you tonight that you will look away to the Savior. Because in this passage of God's Word, we see someone who knew the Lord. Someone who knew the Lord. Look at the contrast between Naaman and the little maid. We read of the maid. In verse number 3, it says, "She said unto her mistress, Good God, my Lord, wherewith the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And here's a little girl who knew the Lord. Humanly speaking, she had a hard life. Basically, the Syrians went into the land of Israel and they wreaked havoc. And they grabbed this little girl, perhaps just playing outside the front of her home, and they took her to a foreign country, to a foreign land, a new language, whole new surroundings. And here is someone who had to leave behind her home and her family and everything that she knew in life, but yet she knew the Lord. And there was evidence in her life that she knew the Lord. Firstly, she had a desire to see her master healed. The man who had caused her so much pain in life. The man who had caused her so much trouble, and she had a desire to see him healed. She had a testimony that backed up her words, because whenever she told her mistress passed the message on. She wasn't dismissed as just some silly little maid, but she went. She was looked upon as faithful. And she pointed her master to the man of God. There was a faithful girl in difficult circumstances. In this passage of God's Word, there's a reminder for each believer in this meeting. No matter how difficult your circumstances are, no matter how difficult the life that you have been given is, it is possible for you to live a life that's faithful to God, where He has placed you. It's possible for you, believer, to live a life that is faithful for the Lord. "I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me." Here's a little girl, and humanly speaking, if anybody could throw their hands up and say, "Life's not fair. Didn't turn out the way I want," it was her. But you see, she was different. And what we need, I believe, in our churches and in this land, are believers who are different. You see, this little girl stood out. She had a love for the lost around her, despite the fact that they had afflicted her and tormented her. She had a love and a concern. And whenever believers are living a life that is holy, they will have a concern for those around them. But not only a concern, they'll put that concern into action. And we ought to be concerned, because it seems to be that as believers, we have lost the concern for lost souls. And so often, we can drive home on a Sunday night and pass the pubs and the clubs, and there are people spilling out onto the street without Christ, without ever having heard the gospel, on their way to a Christless eternity, and it doesn't cost us one thought. Doesn't grieve our souls. We never think to stop the car to give them the gospel tract. We never think to stop the car to invite them to the service. And yet we read how the Savior stood over Jerusalem and he wept because they were lost. And believer, we need to have the heart, and we need to have the evangelistic fervor that this little girl had. We need to have a concern for lost souls. Pray that the Lord would give His children in our church a concern for lost souls. Naaman heard the message that he needed because one person cared. Are you going to be that one person who's going to take the message of salvation to a sinner this week? Are you going to go out this week and win a family member for the Saviour? Are you going to bring them to the house of God? Are you going to bring them into the closet in your prayer time? Are you going to lead them before the throne of grace in prayer? Or friend, are you just going to wander through life until you get to the end of the journey without having cared for those around you who are dying? We need to be active and about the Master's business. Secondly, I want you to notice the message that was given. Whenever Naaman came to Elisha's house, the servant carried a message, and it was a simple message. Very simple message. Here are the words. Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. A simple message. You see, this could have been said to a young child and they would have known exactly what was meant. I'm going to go to the river and I'm going to wash 7 times in the river and I'll be clean. That reminds me of the gospel because, friend, the gospel is a simple message. Repent ye and believe the gospel. And boys and girls can be saved when they truly believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever you repent and turn from your sin and you turn toward Christ and His offer of mercy and call upon Him for salvation, He will save you. You see, it's a simple message. It's a clear message. Some people want a complicated thing. Some people want to add to their salvation. I must do something. But this is the message of God's Word. If you ever want to be saved, you humble yourself at the foot of the cross and turn from the sins that hinder and ask the Lord's mercy. That's a simple message of the Word of God. But not only was it a simple message, it was the only message. Because you'll find that Elisha's servant didn't come out and say, Naaman, you can do this, or you can do that, or you can do the other. No, he gave one message. Go and wash in Jordan. One message to be obeyed and to be followed. And friend, there's only one message in the Word of God. And that is that I am the way, the truth and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said those words. That's the message of the Word of God. If you want to be saved, it's through the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there are those who desire that there would be another message. Some people think, well, I'm a church attender, and I come faithfully to my place of worship, and I give money into the collection plate, and any work that needs done for the church, I will do it without any fear or without any complaint. But friend, the Lord said, you cannot come to the Father but through Him. Some people say, well, you know, I'm a good person. I'm a good person. Look at my community. They'll point to me and I've got a good name in my community. Anybody needs help, I'm there. Anybody sick, I'm around with them. Friend, no man cometh unto the Father but by Christ. And there's absolutely no other way you can get to heaven than through the Lord Jesus Christ. No other way you can have your spiritual leprosy, your sin removed, than through the Lord Jesus Christ. No other way you can stand before a holy God and be accepted other than through the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it's a simple message, but it's the only message. And friend, if you're depending on anything tonight, anything other than the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for God's salvation, you're standing upon sinking sand. And it will take you to hell. But praise God, His salvation is a complete salvation. And in this description and in this command that was given, we see that message of salvation because the servant said, go and wash in Jordan 7 times. Wash in water. That reminds us that if you want to be saved, you have to be washed. You have to be washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Interesting that he had to dip into Jordan 7 times. 7's the number of perfection in Scripture, and praise the Lord, when you're washed in the precious blood, you're made every whit whole. You're cleansed truly. No longer do you wear the rags of your sin, but you're robed in the righteousness of Christ. He had to dip in the Jordan. What does Jordan speak to us of? Well, Jordan speaks to us of the death. And it's through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary that he shed his precious blood, and that he purchased perfection or righteousness or salvation for our souls. You see, there is cleansing and healing for all. Who will wash in the life-giving flood, there is perfect deliverance and joy to be had in this world through the blood. Friend, here's the salvation. Here's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says to you, wash and be clean. We sang the hymn, "Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white, pure and white, in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansion bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb?" As we conclude our message this evening, I want us to notice the response. You see, the first response that Naaman had to the message of the servant of God was anger. Now here's a man, I want you to picture it. Here's a man who is dying. Here's a man, in a matter of months, is going to be going out into eternity. His life is going to be taken away from him. And here he is given the salvation that he needs from the illness. And what's his response? His response is anger. Naaman was wroth. You know why? Because he thought he could be cleansed his way. Look what he's saying. "Behold, I thought something was going to happen. I thought that Elisha was going to come out. He's going to wave his arms about and say some wonderful thing, and all of a sudden I was going to be clean." That's what he thought was going to happen, but that was not God's way. He thought he was going to be saved his way. You see, Naaman was a man of pride. And here he comes in his pride. And he expects God's servant to come out and do everything for him and make a spectacle of him. Surely he would be pleased at the cleansing he would receive, but no, he turned away. I thought. You know what the Word of God tells us? "My thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the Lord. Neither are your ways my ways, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And just before that it says, "Seek ye the Lord. While he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." And how many a foolish person has thought, "It'll be all right. I get to heaven my way. I receive God's salvation my way." Friend, God's salvation is received God's way. And there's pride. Wasn't willing to humble himself and do the simple thing, but yet he was going to face death. Is there someone in this meeting tonight? And that's exactly your position. Friend, you're dying in your sin. Hell for all eternity is your destination. God's salvation, where he says, "Believe and be ye saved." And yet you're refusing it. Friend, you're dying in your sin, on your way to hell, and you're not willing to humble your heart before God and say, "Lord, save me a sinner. Save me a sinner." This man turned away. He turned away from life. Wonder how many times you've walked out of this service without the Savior. How many meetings have you attended where you have known you needed to be saved, but you've left without putting things right with God? Friend, in this meeting, how many gospel services have you come to and gone from without the Savior? And how often will you reject his offer of mercy? You see, the Word of God says, "Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart." Why? Because you're not guaranteed tomorrow. Friend, if this is your last gospel opportunity, what will it be? I trust and pray that not one will walk out that door without the Savior. Friend, don't walk toward hell without Christ. But you need to turn to him and repent from your sin. You see, Naaman wanted the same result a different way. He wanted cleansed, but he wanted it a different way. And there are people in this meeting tonight, and you want heaven, and you want peace with God, and you want freedom from guilt, and freedom from fear, and freedom from shame, but you don't want Calvary. You don't want the Savior. You don't want the precious blood. And friend, lest you come to the Father through the Son, you will perish. But praise God, Naaman came to his senses. Praise the Lord, he came to his senses. You see, he realized there really wasn't a choice to be made. Go on as I am and die, or turn and live. That was what it was. It was simply a command to be obeyed. He considered his latter end. You see, to reject the offer was death. To postpone this offer was foolishness. And to walk away was madness. And friend, tonight I have to say to you, lovingly, to reject this offer of salvation is death. To postpone the offer of God's salvation to another time is foolishness. And to walk away is madness. You know, we read in Psalm 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. In the original, it reads, the fool has said in his heart, no God. Could it be that there is one in this meeting whom the Lord can call a fool because he has rejected God's offer of salvation? Friend, that's a solemn thing. That you could be called a fool sitting in a gospel church, holding in your hands the words of eternal life, and yet walking out without the Saviour. Naaman obeyed and found that God's word was faithful. And exactly as had been said, his flesh became as a little child. A new beginning. He was clean. See, friend, it's not reformation we need, salvation. We need to be saved from the inside. We need the Saviour to come and do that work that only He can do. As we conclude, I want to leave before you these thoughts. The sinner is sick and dead in his trespasses and sin. The message is still the same as it always has been, that there's only one way to be saved. And in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, we read these words. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Friend, if you want to be saved tonight, you must come to Him. My final thought is simply this. Naaman came bearing gifts. What a spectacle it must have been. Oh, all the gold and all the silver and all the changes of raiment. And he was coming to buy his cleansing. You know what he realized? God's grace and God's mercy are free. Friends, you simply need to come as you are. Hymn writer said, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and Lord, you bid me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. Friend, that's all we can do. I love that passage in God's word where the publican came to the temple to pray. Oh, and you know the righteous leaders looked down upon him. But he said, have mercy upon me. And he left justified. Friend, will you leave this meeting justified tonight? Will you cry out for mercy? We have a God who is ready and able and willing to save you. You don't have to leave tonight in your sin, but you can leave rejoicing in the salvation that God has to offer. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friend, would you call tonight? Oh, don't leave this house without the Saviour. Don't leave without getting the matter of your soul settled. Come to that fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, where you can plunge beneath that flood. Praise God, you'll lose every guilty stain. Why don't you come tonight? Let's pray. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, the meeting is over. We're not going to sing a final hymn, but we're just going to pray and conclude the meeting. But I just want to say to you tonight, if you're not saved, friend, if you're not saved tonight, why don't you come to Him? When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, time shall be no more. The morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, when the sea of the verse shall gather over on the other shore. And the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Friend, will you be there? The alternative is too horrific to contemplate tonight. You say to me, I'm not ready. Well, I say to you, behold, now is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. If you know you need to be saved and the Holy Spirit is striving with your soul, please come to Christ. I can't save you, but I can point you to the Saviour. And as we're shaking hands on the way out, just indicate that you would like to speak to me, and I'd be delighted to take you aside and just open God's Word and show you how you can know for sure you're saved. But friend, please settle the matter tonight. Come and welcome to Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful news of salvation. That Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost, and Lord, that you've saved many people in this gathering tonight. We say to God be the glory. Great things he hath done. But O Lord, for those who are out of Christ without a Saviour, O Lord, we cry, we beg thee. Lord, would you please come and work in their heart? O Lord, cause them to be uncomfortable in their sin. Lord, cause true Holy Spirit conviction. And Lord, tonight bring true Holy Spirit conversion to this house. O Lord, if there's one who needs to be cleansed from their sin, Lord, will you draw them onto thyself tonight? O Lord, we fear that they would walk out of this house and reject thee for the final time. But we thank you for your mercy that you brought them to the gospel meeting tonight. Lord, save their soul. Cleanse it. May they be born again of the Spirit of God. And may their name be written in the Lamb's Book of Life tonight in glory. Lord, give deciding grace, we pray. And all glory will go to thee. For it's in his name we ask it. Amen.